Like Yvette continues on 89.7 WUWM, I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. The 91st Academy Awards will be handed out this Sunday, the Oscars. Eight films are nominated for the ultimate prize of Best Picture, and people across the country will tune in to see whether their own picks for films and actors will take home golden statues.
But like many awards shows, this year's Oscars are not without some controversy. This year, there will be no host for the first time since 1989. There's also controversy surrounding two of the Best Picture nominees, Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody, but many are praising the diversity of films nominated, including more films made by people of color, and for the first time, a Spanish-language film is nominated in the Best Picture category.
Well, host or no host, we can guarantee that film contributor Dave Lurson will be tuned in to the Academy Awards. He joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio recently to discuss the nominations and the unusual hosting situation.
Maybe we don't really need a host. I mean, I think the idea was the host would draw more viewers, but I'm not sure that that's been working because viewership has not actually been on the increase.
That's true. So do you think when it comes to the films that are part of this year's Oscars, that there's as wide a spectrum as, you know, compared to last year with nominees? We have Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice, all nominated for Best Picture, which, you know, isn't as diverse in the scales as, say, last year was when it came to Shape of Water and Lady Bird and everything in between.
Well, it's pretty diverse, though, if you know, really, there's musicals in here. There are two African-American-themed movies. There's a historical, a strange kind of historical reenactment movie, Spanish-language film, Roma, something on recent American history, and in the case of Vice. So I think it spreads out pretty well. I think that it represents a great number of constituencies, if that's what the Academy is trying to do. And of course, they are very sensitive to the idea that it had become kind of the old white guys' club after a while. And I believe that they have done, you know, due diligence in trying to address that. The thing about that people need to keep in mind is that the Academy membership is not like the Shriners where somebody puts your name up and you pay your due and you're in. You have to be part of the movie industry to begin with. And there is where the root of racism in entertainment in Hollywood comes in, because minority groups have been slowly accepted in Hollywood. They have been underrepresented forever. And this is beginning to change, and the Academy is beginning to reflect that. But the Academy, I think, is trying at least to take more of a leadership role in changing that.
When it comes to diversity spilling into other categories, I'd say, you know, lead actor, perhaps some people are left out of that, like John David Washington.
Right. John David Washington, if you're looking at diversity in the actor and leading role category, why wasn't he nominated instead of Viggo Mortensen for Green Book, for example? No skin off of Viggo's nose here, but I think that it would have been a better gesture not to nominate, you know, the white guy helping the black folks, but to nominate an actual African-American in a historically based film.
Well, and the fact that some years it always seems to be the case where maybe something is nominated for Best Picture, but rarely do the actors get the same treatment, and don't they make it a Best Picture nominee?
Well, Best Pictures are compounded from many elements. So, I mean, there is a certain amount of divvying up the spoils that I think goes on here in the minds of some Academy voters and some members of the nominating committee. So that has to be taken into account. But also, I mean, what makes a Best Picture? There are so many elements. It could be visual. It could be the screenplay. It could be, I mean, really, it should be all of the elements, including the cast, that somehow come together in this scintillating chemical combustion of greatness, hopefully. And sometimes you can have a really good performance in a movie that lacks some of these other qualities.
For lead actor, we have Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, the film about Vincent van Gogh, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. Do you foresee this following the Golden Globe trend with Rami Malek once again taking
it? Well, I hope so, because it's one of my favorite movies, and I think it would be the way that film Bohemian Rhapsody will be acknowledged would be by Rami Malek winning. I think maybe, you know, Christian Bale on a certain technical level probably should win because of the difficulty of his role in playing Dick Cheney at various points in life and utterly disappearing into that character. By the end, Rami Malek kind of disappeared into the lead vocalist of Queen, Freddie Mercury, as well. So it's a good contest between the two of them. I think that Rami will make it.
I would agree that it's between Rami and Christian. Now, it comes to lead actress. We have Yalitza Aparicio for Roma, Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga for A Star is Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me, which I'm very pleased that she is nominated for that.
I am, too. It was one of my top movies of last year. I have a feeling, you know, Glenn Close, 7 times she was nominated for an Oscar and never the winner. Maybe it's time. I mean, the movie that she was in last year, The Wife, was re-released for theater during the nomination period. So there seems to be some push within the industry to put her forward. I think it would be kind of a shame if years go on and she dies without winning one during her lifetime. So I would tend to think that she might be a favorite here.
I would say Olivia Colman for The Favorite would be the second favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that performance has generated a great deal of positive comment. And The Favorite, of course, we'll talk about Best Pictures, but, I mean, the movie did quite well for itself in the nominating process.
Very true. So when it comes to supporting actor, Mahershala Ali, Green Book, Adam Driver, Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for A Star is Born, which is surprising for a relatively small screen time, Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Another great performance. And Sam Rockwell for Vice.
Mahershala Ali for Green Book, I think, would be the one that would deserve it. And I have a feeling that there is sentiment like that in favor of giving the award to him. Sam Elliott, I think, is a case of honoring a longtime veteran. I don't think he's going to win in this particular case. Adam Driver. I mean, it's certainly a solid a list of people, but I think that Ali should be the one to get it.
Now, when it comes to supporting actress, we have a few other nominees, two part of the same film, which can always put it in a tough competition. We have Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira for Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone, The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite.
Well, I think that Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are running against each other here, as you say. I would like to give it to Amy Adams for Vice, because I have a feeling that Vice is going to be shut out of a lot of categories. And this, again, it could be a way of acknowledging that interesting movie. But again, when you look at the list, I mean, I don't think that Marina de Tavira has a constituency at this point in the Academy. Regina King, maybe, but again, Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz are competing with each other. So I think that odds would be in favor of Amy. And well-deserved. It was an excellent performance. Again, spanning decades in the life of a real character.
Now, when it comes to leading all of these people in their roles, Best Director, we have Spike Lee for Black Klansman, Pavel Pavlikovsky for Cold War, Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, Adam McKay for Vice.
Well,
which is a lot of competition. It's strong in all the cases.
That is good. Cold War is an excellent movie, but we can eliminate Pavel right away because I don't think, again, it's got the same prominence. Adam McKay for Vice, you know, a very good bit of directing there, but I just have a feeling it's not going to be up there in the top of the minds of most people in the Academy. The person who, in a certain sense, should get would be Spike Lee because he really should
totally
be.
Totally agree.
Yeah, he really should be recognized for 3 decades now of, provocative and sometimes really good and sometimes less so, but whatever. It's been a very long career doing something that has not been done enough of in Hollywood, films from an African-American perspective. But I have a feeling it's not going to be his year yet, that really the competition goes down to Roma and The Favorite because, I mean, they both have, 10 nominations altogether. They are tied, those two films. It would seem to me that because of that, there would be an emphasis on one or the other of those directors winning. And if I was going to choose there, Alfonso Cuarón, because I think he has a stronger Hollywood track record than Lanthimos does. But yeah, could go many directions.
Which might be making some people making their, you know, office Oscar polls, you know, a little upset, considering a lot of things you're returning to is like, okay, what is their esteem level in Hollywood versus, okay, what's the enjoyment of the film or how well it's done?
Well, I'll point out that the attempt to do a popular film category was swatted down. And I think rightly so, because that does run against the mission of the Academy, which is to promote the artistry and the technology of filmmaking, not to register box office appeal. I mean, many times films far outside the mainstream in recent decades have won significant awards. You know, movies about, you know, transsexuality, for example, 20 years ago in the late 90s with, you know, Hilary Swank. I mean, that was kind of outside of consideration for the average moviegoer at the time. The Academy is sometimes, for all of its criticisms against it, they are sometimes ahead of the game.
Now, when it comes along that line of further emphasizing things that are outside of the audience norm, how about documentaries for this year? What are our top contenders?
Well, RBG on Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the prominent one. There's a prominent one that's missing here, and this, I think, is the one thing I find inexcusable about this year's Academy Awards. Won't You Be My Neighbor? A great documentary that did find a significant audience was not even nominated. And instead of it being nominated, we have a variety of things here that really never made the big screen in Milwaukee, which means they didn't make the big screen in very many places at all. So why is that? So there's something really incomprehensible to me about why that was left off, but instead we have Free Solo, Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap, A Father's and Son. I mean, fine movies, you know, nothing against any of them. But given
considering how sometimes we can have 9 or more nominees in categories some years, that
couldn't
make room for one more.
Yeah, why not? What was the problem here? I mean, but, you know, setting that aside, I think that RBG will win. I mean, it certainly generated an enormous amount of interest. And the subject matter, of course, is something that affects every American in some way, whereas these other movies are a little more focused on particular issues.
Yes. Now, when it comes to foreign language film, does it come down to distribution with foreign language film if it's made for and released in another country? Because Roma, you could argue, is a foreign language film.
It's up for foreign language also, as well as
Best Picture,
which is an interesting kind of a situation. Yeah, I mean, a foreign language film that has no American distribution is much less of a chance, of course. Many of these movies, Never Look Away, the German contender, is opening in Milwaukee only, in February, mid-February. So most people around the country have never seen it. Capernaum has had very limited distribution. Cold War arrived in Milwaukee in January. So yes, I think Shoplifters, a kind of favorite on the film festival circuit, would normally be the movie I would predict would win this. I think it has a very good chance of winning. It has a nice kind of a sentimental, you know, positive storyline about children and families. I think, though, that the unknown, the wild card here is Roma. Will the Academy give Roma Best Foreign Language Picture but not Best Picture? I mean, there is that kind of political consideration that maybe we'll pawn off the foreign language award to Roma, and that reserves the right to vote for something else for Best Picture.
Right.
Well, some people in the Academy will think about that. Whether it's the majority of them, we'll see.
Do you think that the Academy will have to reexamine or perhaps adjust protocols and rulings with the way they decide things? Because with Roma and Cold War, so there you have Netflix and Amazon Studios.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting how they are changing the landscape.
Well, they are studios, of course. They become studios, much to the chagrin, I think, of older studios in Hollywood. They have an advantage over unfair advantage. I mean, they have the streaming systems. People, you know, can watch movies by Netflix and Amazon from the comfort of their home. They don't have to go out and, I mean, there's probably a little fee for Prime viewing of certain things, but I mean, it's not like spending, you know, what has become an enormous amount of money to go out to a date night to the movie theater. So I think there is a real fear that this kind of thing will cut away at theatrical revenue, even though 2018 was a record-breaking year. Movie theaters did quite well last year, but there's still this anxiety that the world is changing and movie theaters, multiplexes in particular, will become somewhat irrelevant except for you know, people lining up for the latest superhero movie.
Do you think that the Oscars are also going to need to reevaluate and readjust to see what their role is with the viewers of America?
Well, the viewers of America include Amazon and Netflix viewers now to a larger number than ever before. The studios and the Academy, it for a long time didn't want to pay particular attention to television. Television has its own awards. I mean, but what's been happening, of course, is that the lines between different categories of media have been blurring and overlapping. And let's look at the name, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. In the 1920s, there was only one kind of motion picture, what you would see on a big screen. We understand now more than ever that we're surrounded by motion pictures of one kind or other. I mean, in what way does the Academy have to take this into account in thinking about what its mission is? So we live in interesting times.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor for the Shepherd Express newspaper and one of our regular film contributors. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and you'll find more of our film segments, including some about this year's Oscar nominees, at wuwm.com.